Kansas City's Rock Station on the Friday before Metallica kicks off. They're kicking off their Death Magnetic Tour 2008-2009 in our house tomorrow night at the Sprint Center, and joined by some guy named Lars, who's apparently A, a drummer, B, an art connoisseur, C, a wine enthusiast, D, a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominee, and an all-around duder.
That's a lot to live up to.
A duder, Lars.
A duder.
What made you use that word in that commercial, calling James a duder? Apparently, duder. You guys are getting along better.
Well, I don't know. Dude seems so universal these days. So when you put an R at the end of dude, it becomes a little more specific. So James will be forever known as duder.
Can we talk about that radio commercial, by the way?
Please, talk away.
That commercial is one of the most genuine and heartfelt endorsements for coming to Kansas City. You guys realize when you do that and they tell you that you're going to play, you know, nothing would be great than playing our favorite place. The Sprint Center is a brand new place. You couldn't have possibly played there before.
Right. You know what? Even though we've never been there before, we know already coming in that it'll be our favorite place to play. That's the kind of foresight we have around here in Metallica.
Do you still have to write it on your drums what town you're in?
I have to write it on James's vocal mic.
Do you really?
No, we're all good on that. We've always been just functioning enough to be in the moment enough to know what city we're in. We haven't called out, at least to my knowledge, we haven't called out the wrong city yet. But listen, you know, when you're in your early to mid 40s like we are, you know, there could be advanced stages of senility setting in. So you never know if James tomorrow starts yelling St. Louis at you people. But I'll do my best to make sure that doesn't happen.
All right, let me ask you this question, and this one might hit a nerve. If you guys
protested, you can throw anything at me.
If you guys were capable of Death Magnetic, how can you explain the past 20 years? You know what I mean? I know you've taken a lot of heat. I mean, everybody knows it. You guys, and you roll the way that you roll in Metallica.
Sure.
But this is the first thrash album you guys have made literally in 20 years.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, we were just so, you know, after the Justice album in 88 or whatever, it was just like, you know, enough of this stuff. Now let's go explore all these other musical territories. And then we went off on all these other adventures. And then Rick Rubin showed up. This is obviously the short version of the story. Then Rick Rubin showed up a couple years ago and said, how about if we kind of take a visit back through the old neighborhood? And we weren't very keen on that. But after a little while, Rick Rubin can basically talk you into anything. So then then we ended up kind of heading back in that direction. And surprisingly, it actually felt, it didn't feel forced at all. And it felt kind of, in some perverse way, kind of natural. So I think we, you know, on a serious note, had kind of felt that if we were going to start getting all thrashy again, that in some way we might maybe belittle what those records were in the 80s and what they stood for, you know, maybe cheapen them a little bit by trying to, you know, sort of copy them. So, but Rick said that we would be fine. So we went down that path again, and all of a sudden there's nothing but love for Metallica again. What do you know?
Well, and the other question I have is, you know, how pleasant or how satisfying is it 20 years later to still be able to do it faster, better, tighter than all of the bands that have come since?
I got to tell you, I mean, you know, I'm about 6 Advil into my day already here with my arm from thrashing around yesterday. But you know what? It's awesome. I mean, to be 27, 28 years into your career and to have people still care about you, like we like to say in Metallica, we still keep one foot in relevance. And so it's awesome that there's so much goodwill and love from not only the fans, but the critics and certainly the peers. And so it's been a great year. It's been a great summer. It's been a great fall. And the good news is that the Death Magnetic stuff is, even though it's pretty nutty in terms of, you know, trying to remember all those parts, it's actually it's a little more comfortable to play than you might imagine, because it's a little bit, I mean, I know this is a cliche, but a little bit kind of like putting on an old pair of shoes or whatever, you know. It's actually some of the St. Anger stuff, for instance, was very difficult to play because it was very awkward. But this stuff on Death Magnetic is actually, it's a lot of fun to play. And we've been playing about 5 of the songs you know, various times over the last couple of months, and it's been pretty cool so far.
Will you guys actually play anything off of St. Anger in concert?
We throw in Frantic once in a while just to make sure that people understand that to us it's still a relevant record, you know, and Frantic's a great live song, and I think the fans really like it. You know, some of the other stuff, when we went a little deeper into the record, it was some of the stuff was kind of weird to play. Most of the record was put together on a computer, so it's not quite as organic as, say, the Death Magnetic stuff. But yeah, we throw some stuff in once in a while.
Are you still proud to be able to take that kind of a chance? Like, some people got it. I got it. I know exactly what you were going for with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But so many people thought that was such a left turn. You guys went from
sure
Load and Reload to, oh, my God, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I know. And listen, I appreciate that. I mean, listen, to me, it's the beauty and the freedom of being in Metallica is that you sort of have the freedom to do that type of stuff. And I understand for some of the fans that maybe some of those left turns, as you say, are too radical, but at least I think that the majority of the fans at least respect it enough to know that when you've been around the block as many times as we have, you know, if for nothing else, your own survival or your own mental, you know, survival or whatever, that you gotta like throw yourself some of these challenges. And it was a difficult couple years in Metallica with Jason leaving and with James kind of dealing with all his personal demons and all that type of stuff. So I'm glad that there even was a record, because there was probably about 6 months around that period where I wasn't sure there even was, you know, not just a record, but a Metallica, you know. So if nothing else, you know, I think that St. Anger serves a purpose in the fact that it's bridged, you know, the past to Death Magnetic. And I think, and I understand that there are a lot of people that have a tough time with that record, but at least I think people could respect it for nothing more than, if it wasn't for St. Anger, maybe we wouldn't be here.
That was a weird thing about Trujillo, because as much as everybody knows, Robert Trujillo is one of the best bass players in the world, and now he's hooked up with three like-minded individuals and doing a thing. Imagine Trujillo, he hooks his wagon to your train, and that train, perceptively, is going off the rails.
Well, I know. But, you know, he's also a big part of his coming and being in this band is a big part of the current stability and the current, you know, goodwill and sort of nothing but love kind of vibe that's happening. I mean, those years, I mean, you're talking 01, 02, I mean, that's what, 7 years ago? I mean, that's a lifetime in other careers, and it certainly feels like it's a lifetime away when I think back on the last few years and what we've been through. So, you know, there's great, great, great vibe in this band. And, you know, when people ask me about the movie or about the St. Anger years or whatever, I mean, it's, you know, I almost like talk about it in the third person, you know what I mean? Because right now things are, and I'm saying this knocking on some wood here, but I mean, things are very, very stable and things are a lot of fun in Metallica, and there's just a really, really good vibe, not just between the band members, but it just feels, like I said before, that there's a lot of goodwill and people are really championing the Metallica cause right now, so it's a good time.
I got to be honest with you, it is funny to go to a Metallica show and to hear James in between songs talk about Metallica loves you, Metallica feels good, and then the crowd is chanting die, die, die.
Hey, you know, listen, nothing but contradictions. You know, contradictions keep you awake and aware.
Well, Lars, I'm glad you guys are back, man. I'm glad.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks, bro.
I'm so glad. And I'll see you tomorrow afternoon. I think at some point, you know, through the miracle of scheduling, I might have a chance to talk to you backstage.
Oh, that'd be great, Paul. Yeah. I mean, we're rolling in. I'm at home right now, but we're rolling in, I think, usually in the 4 to 5 vicinity. And then we kind of hang out, talk to a few people like yourselves, and watch the Sorting down. And then we go in and flex for 5 seconds in front of the mirror, and off we go, you know?
Well, my friend, I am so glad to talk to you again. I'm glad the band is doing well, and thank you for making the best record you've made, or at least the most Metallica record you've made since 88.
Oh, I appreciate that, bro. Thanks, man.
All right,
well,
man.
Listen, we'll see you guys what's the name of the joint? The Sprint?
It's your favorite place to play in Kansas City.
What's it called? The Sprint Arena?
The Sprint Center.
What happened to, what was it, Kemper?
Kemper's still there.
Okay, so this is the new joint.
Yeah, this is brand new, right down, heart of downtown. Very, very, I think it's got 11 dressing rooms, so there's plenty of room for you guys to screw off.
Okay. Oh, it's nice to know. Cool. Well, listen, Paul, I'll see you tomorrow, bro.
All right, man. Take care, Lars.
Okay, man. Thanks.